Well, hey there. This week's episode is brought to you by Agility Bed. You can use the code YHL before December 31st to get their steepest discount of the year. It's 25% off any of their hybrid mattresses, plus a free gift of your choosing. That's code YHL at agilitybed.com. I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
We're popping in for the holidays to give you a special episode full of house updates, embarrassing stories, renovation plans, and maybe even an impression or two. Wow, wow, wow! That was clearly Scuttle from The Little Mermaid.
Hey, we're back!
And we're rustier than ever!
We're gonna call this a holiday special. Not because it's going to be particularly holiday-themed, but because it's special for the holiday season. It's a gift to you guys who have so patiently waited to hear an episode again. And people have been asking where the podcast has been, and like the best way to explain it is just, you know, when our kids were finally back in school this fall, we didn't have this podcast-sized hole in our schedule anymore. Like, in that time since our last episode, life, work, other projects kind of filled in that gap. So it wasn't as easy to like flip the podcast switch back on.
And then we were like, oh, we plugged in the, what's that called? External hard drive with all the podcast, like music and everything on it.
Thought it was blank.
Didn't work. Yep. Nothing on it. We're like, the podcast has been erased.
This is what happens when you take off more than a year from podcasting.
The universe is against us, but we just wanted to pop in and you'll hear a little bit why later. We don't think it makes sense for this to be weekly. Even if we did have the time every week, we don't really have like the home improvement projects going on in mass to have these like updates that frequently.
Yeah, we don't, I think, have enough to say.
We have enough for a big update today. And then we'll just drop in periodically with updates. I think that should be the plan. Like when we have a big thing to say, we'll share it. And if you guys subscribe, it will just pop up wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure people knew that if they were not subscribed or if they had unsubscribed, I wouldn't blame you. But if you had unsubscribed, like resubscribe in whatever podcast app you're listening in, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever, because that is the best way to know whenever we pop in with a rando episode.
With our annual episodes.
Our once a decade episode.
Right.
Well, and like Sherry mentioned, one reason why weekly podcasting doesn't really make sense is we just have less house stuff going on because we have a smaller house, so there's less to do, and most of the rooms are in a pretty good state right now.
I know. It's like this really interesting comparison to how things were in Richmond and how things were when we were like blogging about our homes for a living, because it was like our livelihood depended on projects and therefore our list was really very long and it almost felt like job security to have a very long list. And then this like very intentional choice to move away from blogging as a full-time job and then to move to a much smaller house, not have to like churn things out at a high speed. The interesting thing about it is that our list is very short. And I think our contentment, like if there was a circle, let's do something visual on a podcast because that always works really well.
We are clearly out of practice.
Picture two circles, like a Venn diagram.
I do love a chart.
Right? And picture the circles, like one of them saying DIY is your job and one of them saying contentment. And I would say for myself, this is not for everyone, I have noticed that my contentment circle has gotten huge and my, is that not how a diagram works? Okay, forget the diagram. The visual is bad.
I love a chart, but not one of these charts.
I would just say that, can we say a correlation and maybe a causation? As my DIY, as my job circle shrank, my contentment and acceptance of my house and my happiness in things being the way they are has gone up.
Yes, it used to be those things were directly related. And now they're sort of like inversely, like your contentment goes up as you have fewer things to do.
Exactly. And the weird thing about when this was our job is that I felt scared when I had less to do because I was like, am I going to have to move? Like there is this inherent pressure when you do this as a job to keep doing it and be interesting.
Yeah.
And boy, am I excited to be boring.
Yeah. I think we realized at some point that this move to downsize and simplify was in opposition to that path we'd been on before where we were always trying to do more projects and have more things on our house to-do list and stuff. And that's not to say we haven't been doing things. Like if you've been following the blog or following on Instagram over the last year or so, you know, we had big things like we put in a pool and a hot tub this year. That was kind of our big like 2021 project.
Yeah.
You know, we also updated our kitchen some, did a new porch off of our kitchen. All those things are on the blog if you missed any of them and want to check them out. And moving forward, our list, I think, has mainly three big things on it, you know, besides probably like little organizing and decorating things. But our next thing is probably going to be to replace our kitchen cabinets and kind of like more fully redo the kitchen. We've been doing like little tweaks here and there, like we added a pantry this year, but this is going to be, I don't even want to call it a gut because we're not gutting. We're just taking out the existing cabinets and putting new ones in.
And guess how many cabinets there are? There are five.
There are five.
There are five cabinets that we have ordered from IKEA. They've been sitting in our bedroom. We actually ordered them months ago. They finally came in and they arrived like right around when Burger died. And we were like too sad and too, we didn't have the energy mentally and physically to get into a kitchen project. And so little updates like adding the pantry had been easy. Even doing the side porch because we hired some of that out was easier. But in replacing these five cabinets, it sounds small, but it really means living without a sink for a few weeks, living without a dishwasher for a few weeks because the cabinets have to go in fully and then they have to come and measure and it takes a few weeks to get your counters installed and that's when you get your sink back and your dishwasher back.
Yeah, it was something we were going to get into this fall, but we were sort of coping with the loss of our dog. So.
Yeah, I think we just wanted to not be doing anything that took mental capacity at all.
So that's why we've had boxes of cabinets and tile sitting in our bedroom for the last 2.5 months. And they will probably be there for another at least month because I think this is probably going to be a new year project.
But the good news is five cabinets are not that many boxes. No. The bedroom is not ruined. I'm recording the podcast near the boxes.
I was going to say, you're sitting right next to them. They're right there.
They're flat packed. It's not so bad.
The beauty of IKEA, right?
Exactly. Oh, and before anyone listening gets sad, we are not replacing those five cabinets to change the color. We are planning to paint these cabinets the exact same, like, mauve color. We are so into this color that we added to the kitchen. It was the original color of our kitchen. When we look back at demo pictures behind the cabinets, the original walls were this mauve color. The original laminate counter, which we still have, is this mauve color. That will be replaced with a nice, like, longer lasting, well, I don't know if you can say that. This one lasted a while.
It did its job. It's a little cracked in places, but this laminate, you know, it is making the case for itself.
It went the distance.
Yeah.
But we're going to get like a stone countertop, tile all the way to the ceiling. Yeah. But mainly the replacement of the cabinets is just for the better function.
Yeah, it's just these are old cabinets that just the drawers don't roll as smoothly because of the frames on them. You don't get as much storage in them as you could with newer cabinets. So it's really about making sure that the five cabinets we have work the hardest they can in that spot because we need all of that stretch of cabinets to be as functional as possible.
Exactly. And another funny layout quirk of the kitchen right now is that we have this one sliver of a cabinet to the left of the stove and it's maybe like 7 inches wide.
It's really tiny. I mean, it's like where our like baking sheets and like cooling racks go.
Yes. And it has a drawer and you can fit one plastic bottle of olive oil in it. Yeah. That's like all I can figure out what to do with this.
No, right now it has a bunch of spoons in it.
I think with the wood of the drawer, it's like a 3-inch wide drawer.
Yeah. And with the new IKEA one, it'll be like, I think a 10 or 12 inch wide drawer. So it's going to get much more functional in that spot. And we're also changing all of the lower cabinet doors to drawers because we find that in a kitchen, having drawers as your lowers is much more functional than having doors, you know, that you have to like bend down and crane under and all that stuff.
Yeah, but are we doing drawers under the sink? No, that's going to be doors.
That's going to be a door, yeah.
Okay, so some drawers, some doors, a wider cabinet in a spot that's kind of a wasted cabinet that holds hardly anything.
And it's been months since we planned this, so that's why neither of us really remember precisely what it was.
I'm like kind of getting excited talking about it because I think any function or like space saving or smart storage in a smaller house is like the currency here.
Yeah.
Like we get very thrilled. Even to gain like an extra drawer somewhere is very exciting.
Yeah. But I did mention there were three projects. So kitchen is one. The other one is eventually we are going to turn a corner of our bedroom into an ensuite bathroom so that we have a second bathroom in here and one that we don't have to share with the kids.
Yes. Because if you've been wondering, oh, and all this time, I'm sure they added their second bathroom. Nope. They can't all still be sharing a bathroom.
We are.
It has been oddly fine. Like I was thinking a post I could write for the blog is things we thought would suck about downsizing and things that actually were challenges because they're not the same. Picture a Venn diagram.
No,
circles would not overlap. It's like things I thought that would be hard. Everyone sharing a bathroom. I thought we'd move in here and immediately on day one. Are you still laughing at my Venn diagram?
I realize I think every Venn diagram you construct is just two separate circles. The point of a Venn diagram is to like analyze what overlaps.
Mine are separate.
Yeah. Yeah, then it can just be two columns, maybe?
No, I like the Venn diagram.
You just like the circles.
Okay. I like circles. Circles, we can go back to a really early podcast. Circles make you happy. Your eyes like circles. We'll put it in the show notes.
You were just saying that the bathroom was something we expected to bother us, the single bathroom.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it has not so far, which is why we're not urgent to do this bathroom. It is a future thing. We are not chomping at the bit to have it.
I mean, we were here a year with our kids at home learning. Like, we put this house to the test. Yeah,
I feel like if we could get through all of that and being so close for so long, like, we are golden for a while.
It feels like I have a second bathroom just having children in school.
It's true.
Right? I'm like, oh, it's empty all the time. Look how big our house feels.
Yep. Well, and the third thing on our list is eventually we do need to or want to pave our driveway or do a paver driveway, because right now we're just parking on sand and pine straw.
Yeah, we're very classy here.
Yep. And we'll probably at the same time do a like paver area under our fire pit.
Yeah.
But again, that is something that is probably more than a year off. So it's not like we have this rapid fire list of projects to go through right now. And like Sherry was saying a moment ago, in the past, I think that would have made us both anxious. But right now we're at this place where that actually is a relief.
Yeah, I think in like downsizing, there's a lot of pain points in the forefront of the assignment.
The like, transition.
Even packing the pod, like figuring out what to keep is like such a mental load. And then getting here, and I think you've heard this, I'm sure we covered it on the podcast, but we moved in and still had like too much stuff. So we had to bring things back out and put them into the pod and donate them. So there was like all this adjustment up front. But then when you get down to it and you're like, I've had five cabinets in my kitchen this whole time. Like we added a pantry. So now we have all this extra space that we didn't have before. But in many ways, the house has just been getting more efficient and smarter and easier. And so it's easy to see why our contentment is going up. It's like after, I think, 10 months of not having a closet in our own bedroom, we just had dressers and our hanging clothes were in our son's closet. We finally added a huge, like, wall-to-wall built-in wardrobe. It has five doors. Like, it is huge to us. And we went from not having that at all. So in many ways, we've made this house work really, really hard. And it's been hard up front to get there. And even waiting 10 months for a closet is not the best. But once you get it, you're like so content and so full of gratitude because you have figured out the small space thing.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to keep doing it. Like, we've worked to solve a lot of those pain points in the first year. So now we're in year two. We're like coasting. We're saying to ourselves, let's go to the beach instead of like, oh, we have to go back to Home Depot.
Well, and you were telling me on the same topic of like finding contentment in the house you have, you know, now, not the house that like you're working towards or the house you'll have after your renovations. But you were telling me you were playing like a game.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was fun. I was like, we need to talk about this on the podcast because it's so weird. It only really works in audio format. It's not like I could write this out, I don't think. But my son and I were walking home. I got him off the bus and we were walking home. We have like a 6-minute walk. And we started playing this random game. I do not know how it started, but we started sort of singing this thing. And we were like, you want a house with a swing in the front yard? We got it. And we kept naming cool things about our house. It was like a gratitude exercise that my 7-year-old just came up with. And we listed all the things we were happy about. So it was like, you want a house with a pool? We got it. You want a house with a second floor deck? We got it. And we were listing, you know, like things I don't think I cognizantly list in my brain ever all at once. And it was so many things to be excited about. And they weren't all expensive. Like the pool is a bad example because it's like such a big thing we worked for a year to get. But we also had things like, you know, my son sang a swing in the yard. That was like a $50 purchase off Amazon that we got when we moved in. And we also said things like, you want a house with a lemon tree in the front yard? We got it. Like just all the fun things. You want a house with lizards outside? We got it. And then when I got home, I started telling my daughter about it and she added more. Like she was saying things like, you want a house with an outdoor shower? We got it. And like, you want a house with a hanging daybed? We got it. And it was so fun to hear like their favorite things about this house, to share my own favorite things about this house. And I think it was such a good exercise to realize like, you can get so focused on your to-do list and what you don't have and what you want and what you're waiting to achieve. And like, you'll be happy when fill in the blank happens. And it's so nice to just scrap that and think about the things you have. And they might be nothing like ours. Like you might be like, I love my view out the kitchen window, or I love my warm heated floor in the bathroom, or whatever thing that you have. I just think it's like a nice reminder, because I do think as I'm not looking to add things to my list because I'm not doing this as a job and like wanting to fill my plate and like gilding the lily unnecessarily, which certainly we could be accused of in the past. Like, I think in hindsight, there were lots of projects we did because they were good for the blog. And in the moment, I think we would have said, well, they were just like smart storage, or they were like efficient for the house.
Yeah. Or they were fun to do. I mean, that's not a wrong reason to do a project just because you want to try something.
Right. And we wanted to share it. And like, by the way, it was our job. Like, it kind of killed a bunch of birds. I hate that expression. We should change that. It
sent a bunch of birds to the farm.
No. I think it should be like, it released a lot of doves. Does that mean because you trapped them in the first place?
You just say it checked a lot of boxes.
It did. It like felt like win-win-win.
You know what? Imagine several circles. The point is, sing a braggy little song about your house.
No, I think it's not braggy. It's like appreciation. Sing a little song of appreciation about all the things you like. You don't have to sing if you don't want to. We're a Disney family. We sing all the time.
You don't have to do it in public on your neighborhood street.
It just was so fun. And it was so cute that later I was even thinking about things like, we have a fire pit, you know, like all these little things. And so many of them, I feel like you could list for like under $50 was the hanging swing. Under $100 or $200 is the fire pit. All these little things we've added. The kids had like, they have two outdoor swings. One is a covered kind of tent swing and one is an open swing. That was two stanzas of the song.
Oh, good.
It wasn't just one swing. It was the covered swing and the swing in the front.
We are very swing rich.
I mean, we could add another one and it would just be chaos.
Let's not be crazy, okay?
Let's not get too nuts.
Well, I think the exercise doesn't just have to be about your house. You know, you can do it generally about your neighborhood, your life, your upcoming trips and holidays or whatever you want to add into the list just to help yourself or your family or whomever you're doing this with, you know, whoever you're singing this with, I guess, yes. You know, help them feel gratitude.
And speaking of singing.
No.
We have a very special guest on the podcast. Alanis Morissette is here. Because the love that you gave that we made wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide. Should have brushed up on those lyrics.
I'm just letting Sherry get it out of her system, everyone.
Oh my gosh, you have Owen Wilson here with us. Wow.
You can't give the impression way up front.
Oh. Guys, we have someone else in the studio. Wow.
No, I didn't mean do it again. I just meant you blew it.
Was that Alanis Morissette? Said Owen Wilson. He's suddenly just like a southern guy on a horse. I can't believe this star-studded cast for this holiday special. Wow.
It's a one-word impression.
I whittled it out of one block of wood.
I do think in this time you could have practiced doing voices in lines that are not iconic to the person. You just sang Alanis' song.
Very well. Sure. She's like, when was I on their podcast? Was I body snatched?
True.
I'm sorry, guys. I know most of you come here for the impressions. John doesn't, though.
I think that's the sound of the hard drive failing.
I did hear lots of people say they want more musical numbers, like Baskets in the Attic. And I did think of a nice sequel, and it would be Ductwork in the Attic. There is ductwork. John is excited about the ductwork.
No, I'm not.
Sherry is very excited about the ductwork. It's true.
We don't have an actual walk-up attic anymore, so it's just insulation and wires and ducts.
It's very efficient, right? It has a whole heating and cooling system up there.
I try not to go up there.
It has electrical running. There's some water up there just for good measure. There's some plumbing pipes.
Let's just say it's an attic that doesn't deserve a song.
Oh, I think it deserves a song for all the things it does for us. In an attitude of gratitude, I am thankful we have a house with an attic full of things.
You got an attic with ductwork?
We got it. No, it's you want an attic with ductwork. We got it.
Sorry. I'm not the musical one of this duo.
I think we should all get on John and he should work for maybe 6 months to come up with his own impression. And then we all can see if that's good or not. Since he has a lot to say about mine.
I am just wise enough not to do them. I respect our listeners enough.
It sounds like a cop-out.
Well, getting back to our house project list.
If there was a Venn diagram, it would be John trying to keep me on track and me going off track. And the circles wouldn't touch.
A special Sherry brand of Venn diagram. It's true. I was going to say there's one item you might notice is missing from the list. If you've been following along through our whole move here and everything, you might remember at some point we talked about adding a small guest house to our backyard because in our actual existing house, we only have 3 bedrooms. Like, we don't have a spare bedroom space when someone comes to visit. So that was our solution, was we were going to build, like, a very small guest house. At one point, we started calling it a shed with a bed because it was about that size.
Right. And we, like, mapped it all out when we were planning the pool because if we put in a pool that's too big, will it cannibalize the space that was going to be the future guest house? Yeah. And then we couldn't add it. So we were so careful in the planning of the guest house.
Yes. But then the pool, you know, took its merry old time to get finished. And in that time, we actually came to the conclusion that we don't need the guest house space because we had to host some guests while that area was under construction. And so our temporary solution showed itself to be a good long-term solution. And that is basically in our neighborhood, there's lots of vacation rentals nearby, including our neighbor just 2 houses over, who gives us a very nice friends and family discount on her space.
Yeah, she has a guest house. And we didn't have to build it. We don't have to heat and cool it. We don't have to clean the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And like, we realized the amount of money to construct and then maintain and heat and cool and insure and all the things of a guest house is probably more than we would ever spend over like many years of hosting people up the street.
Yeah.
Plus it sleeps more people than we ever could because our guest house, remember, shed with a bed, was at best going to host like 2 people.
That's one thing, is like, it would have done just fine for like our parents if they came to stay just like 1 or 2 people. But if you were planning to bring a kid or any more people, like, you were going to be bumped over to some, you know, rental anyways. And so our neighbor's place has 2 bedrooms. One of them is a bunk room, so you could have a few kids stay in there. They've got their own kitchen, living space, bathroom. And I think we realized that, you know, if you've ever been a guest or had a guest, sometimes it's just nice to like have your own zone so you're not sharing hallways in the middle of the night or bathrooms in the middle of the night.
Yeah. And in our situation, we were going to give them a little bathroom and
a bed.
So they wouldn't have been like bathroom wars, but I just picture like in the morning they want coffee. There probably wouldn't have been space in there unless it was like a tiny coffee maker on the nightstand. Yeah. And so what they have is so much more upgraded. It's a full kitchen. They can put their leftovers in that fridge. Like, yeah. I just feel like John's family has come and stayed. My mom has come and stayed. We've hosted various other friends who've come and they've gotten bigger rentals because they're bigger groups. And it's really like a fun part of our neighborhood. So I'm so glad we didn't just like rush into the guest house, because once again, it is proving like our favorite thing to do is live somewhere a while and figure out like your mojo and how you use the space and what's going on. And the really nice thing about it is like, I envision girls trips wherein we all rent a big rental like on the water versus like
shoving someone into our shed with a bed.
Right. I think it was on this podcast where I was debating how I was sad if I ended up with 3 bathrooms to clean here, because our big house in Richmond, which as a reminder was 31,500. No. That sounds wrong. 1,350 square feet.
No.
What?
3,150.
Picture a Venn diagram. One house is big, one house is small. They don't touch. This house is 1,400 square feet. Old house was 3,150 square feet, right? Is that right?
I wasn't paying attention, but this is about half the size. And so I think you're saying that in our big house, we had 2.5 bathrooms.
Yes, I had a half bathroom downstairs and 2 full bathrooms upstairs. And I was psyched, like downright thrilled to have fewer bathrooms to clean.
Yeah.
Moved here, have had one. Let me just tell you, it has been a dream. Someone can be coming up the street and you can clean your entire bathroom by the time they knock on your door. Like, it is amazing how easy it is to have 1 bathroom, to the point that I'm putting off the second one probably just for that.
Yeah, there is probably a sort of a subconscious.
Right, like the ensuite I'm going to have to clean, but at least that will get used.
Yeah.
So the guest bathroom always bothered me because it's like, what if like 3 times a year someone's staying there and it's in use, but otherwise I'm just cleaning it monthly and no one's even using it? Like, it's frustrating to me. So I'm a huge fan of this solution.
Well, and the nice thing I think about this solution also is because we did still plan for that space, like we didn't end up putting the pool in that zone and we made sure it worked around the trees and everything like that. Like, that space still exists so that if we down the line have some future function for which we need that, I'm not saying like we suddenly need a guest space, but like, I don't know, if we need like a detached office or covered pool house thing that's next to the pool, like we can build that.
Right.
Because if we had continued on our plan of constructing it as part of the pool construction, we wouldn't have been able to use the pool until it was done. And I mean, that probably would have put us back a year.
Yes.
Or something. I mean, between materials and just all that stuff.
Yes. Time is a gift because we got to see that we don't even need it. And I can't imagine 3 bathrooms in this 1,400 square foot house after 2.5 in my 31,000 square foot home in Richmond.
I believe you mean 31 million.
I'm Heather Dubrow, and I have a portico share.
Obscure reference.
Someone got it. One person is laughing.
I know it's been a while, but that sound means it's game time. I couldn't let a new episode go by without a game in it.
Can you hear the glee in John's voice? This yeah. is his favorite part. He's like,
I was like, Sherry, what if we just put out an episode and it's just a game?
And I'm like, John, nobody cares about the game. Everyone likes we're digging.
She's like, everyone wants just impressions, only impressions.
No, the true feedback is everyone likes we're digging, which I find hilarious because we accidentally put that at the end because we thought nobody would like that and everybody yeah. likes it. So it works out well because people listen to the whole episode.
Yeah, yeah. We leave it in there to force you to the end.
Right. You must make it through all the bad impressions and John's game, which you loathe, to get to the good part.
You must suffer through this game in order to know what I'm digging. I said this episode, despite being a holiday special, is not going to be holiday themed, but the game is.
Okay.
Okay. So this is about towns in America with holiday names.
Okay.
And I got this from an article, coincidentally, from our old hometown newspaper of the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't write it. They probably just, like, picked it up from the Associated Press, but
hey,
that's where I found it.
Don't talk about Richmond's press like that.
That's where I found it, so.
Big up to the Richmond audience. We miss you and love you. We yep. still love Richmond.
See you at Christmas.
It's always in our hearts.
Most of the names on this list I thought were kind of, like, a stretch. Like, they were things like Wintergreen, Virginia, and Sugarland, Texas, which I'm like, I see how that is, like, slightly connected to holiday.
Sugarland is not.
Yeah.
Halloween, I would argue.
Well, we're sticking with winter holidays this time.
Okay.
So I have picked out the ones that I thought were more strong holiday names. And this is going to be a classic what's not style game where I'm going to give you two town names. One is real, one is fake, and you have to tell me the real one.
Okay.
Okay. First one, Frosty, California or Snowflake, Arizona?
Snowflake, Arizona is real.
She's correct.
Woo!
You may be asking yourself, though, why would you name something Snowflake?
It's like, someone's last name.
It's two people's last name, Snow and Flake.
No way. Yep. Get out of town.
Well, it's a good thing they didn't do Flake Snow, Arizona.
Yeah, that would be bad. That'd it sounds dandruffy. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, number two, Mistletoe, Kentucky or Menorah, New York?
I want Menorah, New York to be real, but I feel like it's Mistletoe, Kentucky. Mistletoe, Kentucky is real.
She's right again.
Yes. I feel like I'm really nailing this.
Okay, next. Candy cane, Oregon, or eggnog, Utah?
I think candy cane, Oregon is real and eggnog, Utah is fake.
She's wrong.
Ah, eggnog, Utah is real?
It's correct.
I just don't associate like a spiked eggnog with Utah, but maybe it's like a purest form without the spice.
Eggnog does not have to be spiked.
Maybe there's not whiskey in that eggnog. Probably I don't not. Even know what you add to eggnog.
Well, they say the town is now largely deserted, so maybe it was not a good state to name eggnog.
I like eggnog. It sounds cute.
Next, Jingle, Vermont or Santa, Idaho?
Jingle, Vermont or Santa? Jingle, Vermont sounds real to me.
She's wrong again.
Oh, so Santa?
Santa, Idaho. My favorite thing about Santa, Idaho was they said in 2005, it was convinced to change its name for a year to secretsanta.com as a marketing stunt for secretsanta.com.
How mad would you be to be a pawn in that game? Like, this is my real town.
Well, I guess
my mail has to go to secretsanta.com.
Idaho.
Idaho.
Yeah, I guess they needed the money. The town needed the money. So they like put up signs and everything. So.
It sounds like a .net, but it's like a .Idaho.
Right. Okay. North Pole, New York or Elf Village, North Carolina?
Mm.
Both are a mouthful.
North Pole, New York is real.
It is real.
Yes.
There's also North Pole, Alaska.
I wish Elf Village was real. Yeah. It's hard to say, though.
Yeah, it is too hard to say. I should have thought of that. They said the one in Alaska was named to attract tourists.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, that actually is kind of a theme in this article, is a lot of these towns really take advantage of the name.
Hmm.
Next
but
up.
But not eggnog, because it's empty. Nobody lives there.
That's how much people hate eggnog.
Oh.
Okay, next. A reindeer-themed pair-up. Dasher, Georgia, or Dancer, Texas?
Dancer, Texas.
Oh, she's wrong.
Oh.
Yeah. Dancer, Texas is the name of a movie, but it's about a fictional town.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would have liked Prancer, Pennsylvania.
There's also a Rudolph, Wisconsin. That's a real place.
Applications for Prancer, Pennsylvania. If you live there, talk to someone. Prancer is also like a good name. Like
Vixen, Vermont.
Yeah, Vixen, Vermont.
Vixen, Virginia. What am I talking about?
Yeah, that'd be good. What okay. we're asking for is more reindeer. Yeah. More reindeer across the United States and maybe even beyond.
You know what? I actually didn't double check all of the reindeer. So maybe they do exist and that's on me. That's research department fell apart.
My DMs are going to be lit about Prancer, Pennsylvania already existing.
Okay. St. Nicholas, Rhode Island or Santa Claus, Georgia?
Ooh, Santa Claus, Georgia.
Yep.
Wow.
Santa Claus, Georgia. Also Santa Claus, Indiana and Santa Claus, Arizona. And Santa Claus, Arizona is another abandoned town.
I was going to say, it sounds like where Santa would not go. Yeah. It is like a desert of hotness.
Well, I guess it was like a Christmas-themed town that like attracted visitors, but it was abandoned in the 1970s, and now it's like a kind of like creepy Christmas ghost town.
Aww.
And lastly, we've got Navidad, Texas or Christmas, Florida.
I think Navidad, Texas sounds real.
They're both real.
Oh!
I had to end on a high note.
How exciting.
There is also a Christmas, Michigan as well, I saw. And they say a lot of these towns, especially like Christmas, Florida, people will send their holiday mail through just so they can get the Christmas postmark on it.
Oh, we should have done that.
I didn't even see where it was. It's probably in South Florida or Central Florida, so not near us. But maybe on a road trip someday, we'll head to Christmas.
And then take a quick pit stop in Vixen, Virginia.
Right. I realize the podcast can't really go up from here because that was probably the peak of the episode for everyone. But we are going to try with a segment Sherry really wants to do called, well, that's embarrassing.
I might have just come back to the podcast to tell you guys this story. Like when it happened, I was like, my life is ruined. The only use for this is if I can use it on the podcast as a, well, that's embarrassing because it is peak embarrassment.
And it is fresh. It was from Thanksgiving.
I will couch this story to say that occasionally someone will know who I am in public. And it is always hilarious to me because it can be like I'm in a store with a mask on. I've got my sunglasses on outside. Like there's ways that I think I'm not obvious. But then usually what happens is people are like, I heard your loud voice and I knew it was you from the podcast. Like I get voice recognized, which I find hilarious. But everyone is always so kind. And usually what happens is someone like shyly approaches me and smiles and I smile back. And it's like, are we doing it? Is this a thing?
Yeah.
And then, you know, one in every 10 times it's someone who's like, do you work at Target? And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, it's not.
There was a lady in World Market the other day who just asked if I knew if something was in stock.
Right? So like, sometimes it's not someone smiling at you because they know you from a podcast or a blog. Yeah. It's for some other reason, like they think you work at that store. But anyway, in this case, I'm in St. Augustine. John and I and the kids went there for like a little fun Thanksgiving jaunt. And we were walking around and popping into little shops and just like having the experience of a new place. And I think we're like about to go into a store, but we're still on the street. And this really sweet woman who's like smiling at me and walks up to me and I'm like, here it is. Here it comes.
Yeah. Well, especially because when we are in a new place, sometimes I don't want to say it happens more, but I think we are maybe more sensitive to it because we might bump into someone we wouldn't otherwise bump into.
Oh, no. I think it does happen more because I think the psychology is like, they're in my city and they're never here. And then they say hi.
Right.
Whereas like in our hometown of Richmond or even here in Florida, we'll get DMs that are like, I saw you, but didn't want to bother your family. But I think the psychology of that is like, but I'll see you again because you lived where I live.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, this is St. Augustine. A woman comes up to me smiling. She has like a boyfriend or husband kind of lagging behind, which is also a paramount of this because husbands don't care.
Yes.
And the wife is like...
Or the husband is a guy who's like, my wife is too embarrassed to do this, but I'll embarrass her.
Right. Sometimes the husband does call out the wife and the wife like turns pink and it's a whole thing.
But those are my favorite because then I know like we're all on the same page that this is kind of awkward.
Right. Like we're all mutually doing a weird thing here.
Yeah.
So this woman's smiling and I'm smiling back at her and she walks up to me and I'm like, here it comes. And she's like, I really debated telling you this or not, but I would want to know. And you have a big hole in the back of your pants. I froze. I turned into a skull and crossbones. I died. My spirit left my body. I don't know what I said. I think I said, do I? Yeah. I asked my husband and he said I didn't. Which is like the most ridiculous. I panicked.
You somehow threw me under the bus to something that I didn't even know. It's like my jerk husband sent me out this way.
Because I think I did like a day or two earlier think I had one and I looked and I was like, John, do I have one? And he didn't see anything, but I think it progressively got much bigger and much worse. So anyway, John like whipped his jacket off and I wrapped it around my waist as my spirit left my body.
See, I was actually the hero of the story.
He was the cute.
I was so chivalrous.
I mean, I'm dying as I say this, but in my head I was like, no biggie. I bet my underwear covers it. Nope.
No.
It was flesh. It was the flesh of my butt, not my thigh, not my lower back. It was the flesh of my butt.
But it still wasn't. It was like what? Like a nickel?
Oh. It was a nickel of butt flesh.
Should I have said dime
to make you feel better? Either one hey, is so embarrassing.
But bright side, how grateful were you that she wasn't like, and I love your podcast?
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, good. Thank God this person doesn't know who the heck I am. And I was like, oh, my God. She was with her husband. Did they discuss it first? Were they like, should I tell this lady her butt skin's showing?
They definitely talked about it.
So that's the story of how I died in St. Augustine. No,
we can't go back to St. Augustine.
I will never return.
Okay, well, next up we have We're Digging, which, you know, this is a, like, year buildup of We're Digging, which I feel like should make these really exceptional.
We were very excited to dig these things.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, they are exceptional. I'll stand firm on that.
It's everyone's favorite segment, even though we had no idea.
But first, we're going to take a quick break.
It's been a while, but you guys probably remember that we bought an Agility mattress for our beach house back in the day, and then another one for our house here, both entirely with our own money. We love them because they're hybrid mattresses and not just all foam. So in summary, we're like real fans who paid real money for them, and we truly love them.
Well, and the timing is good that Agility is sponsoring this special episode because they're in the midst of their biggest deal of the whole year, which you can get now through December 31st by entering the code YHL at agilitybed.com.
Yeah, and not only will you get 25% off any mattress purchase, you also get to choose a holiday gift for yourself too, like a little bonus at checkout.
Yeah, you can either pick between a pair of temperature regulating, customer favorite memory foam pillows, or a set of super soft sateen sheets for free while supplies last.
Also, since who knows how long this episode will sit at the top of our podcast feed, if you're hearing this after December 31st, like sometime in 2022, you can still use the same code YHL and it will get you $300 off any mattress at any time.
Basically, if your bed could use an upgrade and you're ready to jump on the hybrid mattress bandwagon, hit up agilitybed.com, enter that code YHL, and you'll snag some sort of discount.
Right, and the code is YHL at agilitybed.com.
Okay, so when I think about, like, all of the things I've consumed over the last 16 months, you know, like movie, TV, books, all that stuff, two things stand out for me that I am dying to mention. Okay, so the first thing that I'm digging is a book that I read, was it the end of last year, beginning of this year? I don't remember. Time is just a blur,
it's
as everyone
suggestion.
Knows. Exactly. It's called Home Before Dark by Riley Sager. I've read some books by that author before. It's a pen name, so I don't know who the actual author is. And liked them, so when I saw this one at my library, I grabbed it.
And didn't you put this in the gift guide for anyone who's like, this sounds familiar?
Yes, I did put it in the gift guide this year, but you know, that's like 30 bullets. And I did not want this to get just lost in a gift guide because it deserves its own spotlight.
John has brought this book up many times.
Yeah. I always have told people that if you enjoy the Netflix show The Haunting of Hill House or The Haunting of Bly Manor, it's kind of like the book version of those TV shows. Although obviously not the exact same plot, just that style. This has a haunted house and kind of a jump in time between the narrator's point of view of when she was growing up as a child in this house. And then now in the present day, she's trying to unpack some of the things that she lived through back then.
Oh, it sounds very Haunting of Hill House,
yeah.
Right? Because don't they jump time and go back and see their childhood and family stuff goes on? Is
exactly.
There family stuff?
Actually, one of the interesting things about how the book is written is that the way it jumps back into the past is the girl's father wrote a book about the events in the house, and it became like a best-selling book or whatever. And so she was like a character in this book that her father wrote.
Isn't that The Haunting of Hill House?
No, I don't think there's a book in that one, but you know, there's the father.
I think this might be The Haunting of Hill House, the book version.
It's not. It's not. But again, it hits all the same kind of notes that I liked about that TV series. So I highly recommend it if you are into reading those types of stories. But if you are interested in a television show, this is me switching gears to the other thing I'm digging.
And this is a co-digging.
Sure.
I was obsessed with this also. It was such a feel-good, like, we need this in our lives show.
It's a transitional We're Digging from me to you. How
right.
about that?
It's a Venn diagram and we're touching. No. we're overlapping circles on this one. We both loved this show and it's called, let's say it at the same time.
Only.
I forget the name.
I know what you're going to say. It's called
Only Murders in the building.
It's on Hulu And it stars Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez.
She is the funniest character of all of them. Well, the two guys are also hilarious. Yeah. But she is like the young, cool, hip one. And they're like trying to be cool and fit in with her.
Yeah.
And it's a really funny dynamic in sort of that way where you see like different generations trying to like jive
with each
other. Yeah,
it has a very like okay boomer vibe to it, you know?
But I feel like it's a delight for every age. Like, I don't think if you're a boomer and you watch it, you won't like it. I think everybody likes
it. Well, again, maybe this is me showing my age, but I am probably more of a Steve Martin and Martin Short fan than I am a Selena Gomez fan. And so it was like, you know, you got to enjoy both dynamics of it. But let's talk about the plot, because I think especially our podcast listeners will be interested in this, because I didn't know much about it, but it's about a murder podcast, like a true crime podcast.
Yes, and a real true crime podcast I always listened to was advertising it. So John's like, we should watch Only Murders in the Building. And I was like, oh, that's like my podcast ad I get every day on this podcast I listen to.
It's about like a building in New York and a murder happens in the building. I mean, this is probably just sounds like the name of the show at this point. And these three actors that we're talking about play characters who come together to try to both solve the murder and do a true crime podcast
about the murder in real time. It's very funny. There's really surprising walk-on roles from famous people who just pop up as they might be the people who did it.
Yes.
It's really funny.
Who play themselves.
Right, right. Yeah. They are the famous person who lives in the building.
Yeah.
It was one of those shows that I didn't want to end when it was over. I was like, where am I going to find like a funny, quirky humor show like that? And we haven't since. Like, well, nothing has filled the hole.
The thing that we liked about it also is because a lot of the shows we watch together, at least, are kind of mystery, murder, true crime type stuff. So this was still that in a weird way. I mean, it wasn't like dark and like sad.
It was like a lighthearted murder.
Yeah, but there still was a murder mystery in it. And then,
you know what it was like? Wait, I'm having a flashback to
Knives
a
Out.
Movie. Yes, and we dug Knives Out many years ago.
Yeah,
I would even say this is better than Knives Out.
Yeah.
How many episodes do we think it was? Like 8 or 9?
I want to say it was 10.
Yeah, it was great. It wasn't too short. It wasn't too long. Although by the end, I wanted it to keep going forever.
I think there's going to be a sequel because they certainly like left a cliffhanger at the end, which, you know, usually in a show, like, I don't know, maybe that's just wishful thinking from the directors. Like, you think that tees up a second season. So
yes.
I'm hopeful. But this just came out, I don't know, maybe in the fall. So we're probably still a few months out from seeing any more of it. But again, it's called Only Murders in the Building, because that's the name of their podcast, because they are only talking about murders that happen in their building.
I was going to say we should do a psychic thing and guess what the sequel will be called. Like, well, do you think it's going to be called like Only Murders on the N Train?
No, because they teased it at the last episode. Don't you remember? And I don't want to give anything
away. Okay. I forgot that completely, but it wasn't the N Train, was it?
No. Only Murders on the N Train. How'd you know?
Oh, no, it was...
Don't say anything. I'm so petrified you're going to give something away.
I will never remember.
But it's worth getting Hulu for if you don't have Hulu.
Yes, so good.
Get
so
it, binge good. It, cancel the subscription. I don't care. I don't work for Hulu.
Okay, but what I'm digging this week is what I would call a life hack. And a lot of people listening, you're going to think this is stupid. Because for many years, people told me this was a life hack, and I thought it was stupid. No offense if you're the people who told me. But people constantly, for probably the entire time we had the podcast, and maybe even as long as we had the blog, so that's like 5-year span to a 14-year span. Am I building this up too much?
Were you really barraged by this suggestion?
I was hit with this suggestion more times than I expected, and every time I noted, this is not the only person who has said this.
Okay.
And then I said, that's weird, not going to try it. The suggestion was, different blanket than your partner in bed.
And just to be clear, it means like, you have one blanket you cover yourself with when you sleep at night.
Right.
And the person who sleeps next to you has a separate blanket.
Right. And so for many years, I had a weighted blanket in Richmond. You all know I like wore it. Like, it was like a Snuggie. You know, I wore it on the couch when I watched TV.
You know, just red carpets and stuff.
Just the fancy cocktail hour attire. But I would like travel with it and snuggle up to it, but I didn't always sleep under it. And if I did, it was sort of haphazard. Like one night it's in the bed because I brought it up there and I'd sleep with it, but it wasn't like a staunch routine.
Yeah, or it's on top of the blanket we are both under.
Right, exactly. So we both would have a duvet in that situation, and then on top of the shared duvet would have been my weighted blanket. That's how I used to use the weighted blanket.
Yeah, because it was easiest that way to then remove it and take it downstairs because it was on top of all the bedding.
Exactly. Or like fold it at the foot of the bed, throw it in a basket. There were like all sorts of places I used to stash it. And I think it's because Florida's warmer, right? And I didn't want the duvet plus the weighted blanket, but I still like the weight of the blanket. I started shoving the duvet off me and just using the weighted blanket every night when I slept. Like, it became much more of a routine. Our house is much smaller, so it was easier to always have it end up in the bed at night because it only moved around slightly.
Well, you know, and the thing I just realized, it's because we now watch TV in bed on our laptop.
Like, that's
We don't go upstairs to the couch, so you wouldn't have to drag it up to the couch. So it can stay in bed, and it's there for both sleeping and watching TV purposes.
Exactly. It doesn't move around a lot. It's just made within the sheets of the bed under the covers. And then I just throw off the covers like the duvet at night and I just sleep under the weighted blanket. The thing that everyone told me is true. I was like, I don't remember the duvet being like an annoying thing that John hogged or woke me up every time he rolled over. Like, it wasn't like what I would have listed as a previous problem. We didn't have like a sleep fight over the blanket before. But I do think I am less like, I don't notice or feel as much if John rolls over or if he kicks the blanket off, because the blanket is his blanket. It is independent of me. And my blanket is my blanket. And so I like to think I bother him less, because when I roll myself like a burrito, because I will fully rotate so the blanket is all around
me. Sherry likes to do the like karate chop half of the duvet between her knees so that she has something soft between them when she lays on her side.
My knees are very knobby. It's a problem.
I do that too, but you consume a lot of blanket doing that.
You never complained, but now I do think I probably couldn't go back. Like, I have seen the other side of it, and it is autonomy and independence that I appreciate. It is maybe a better night's sleep, maybe not, but certainly not a worse night's sleep. And I know what's happening. Some of you do this already and think it's a life hack, and some of you think, I will never do that. That sounds weird.
Well, I did want to offer some of the sort of cons to it.
Here it comes, John.
Well, just for balance, so that people don't do it and be like, well, Sherry didn't tell me about this.
It is slightly harder to make the bed. There it is.
I think it's like, if you looked at our bed on a normal day when we just like, you know, quickly make the bed in the morning, it's not like we're, you know, spending tens and twenties of minutes like styling it.
It's not like we're spending ones and twos of minutes. We just throw the duvet on top. It takes 1 second. But they're not like hospital corners.
Yeah, I was going to say though, like if we're taking a picture, we might like smooth and make it look more even. But our everyday making of the bed that happens like between school drop-offs and whatever is a little bit lumpier than it would be had there not been an extra blanket under the duvet. We still make the duvet over the whole bed. So it's not like you would walk in and see like, oh, they don't use the same blanket every night. You know, it's not that obvious.
I think it looks fluffier on one side slightly. Like it looks like there's an extra fill in one side of the duvet because that's where the weighted blanket is under it, adding mass. I think you'd maybe have to be paying a lot of attention to notice.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you're someone who's particular about your bed, you might have to be careful about which blanket you choose.
I was thinking if you really want to be like super extra about this, you could remove it and put it like in a basket at the foot of the bed and make the bed perfectly every day.
Yes.
And if you ask me what my favorite weighted blanket is, I have real opinions on this. I have a wonderful one. It has like a washable cover. It's really soft. It's breathable, so I'm not super hot under it. I will link it in the show notes. And are you going to link your book in the show notes?
Yeah, I'll link the book. And also, if you aren't like a weighted blanket fan, I thought you should mention that we did get a new throw blanket for our downstairs sofa recently.
It's the fluffiest little floofster.
Our family members fight over it. Like the kids were like arguing over who could sleep with it at night. We finally put our foot down and say, this stays on the couch, folks.
Right. This is a couch blanket for the winter months here. I'll have you know it was 75 degrees yesterday, but everyone still fought over the blanket. It's like a faux fur kind of tan, very neutral, and it's really lightweight. So if you don't want the weighted thing and you want like something that feels like you're being like touched by an angel, caressed by a mink.
I also have one other con.
Oh gosh, here we go. What's the con?
Well, sometimes because I'm a hot sleeper and I can't deal with the weight of two layers of duvet on me because, you know, when you don't have the duvet on yours, it has to go somewhere.
This sounds like a personal problem.
Well, sometimes sometimes we end up with like, I think, three distinct zones of our bed. There's like the part I sleep in, the part you sleep in, and like the duvet hot dog.
The duvet hot dog is a real thing that happens. Well, I think when you throw the duvet off, you could throw it off the side of the bed, but instead you put it in the middle of the bed.
Well, yeah, because then it's going to fall on the floor.
The irony, though, is that we have a queen size bed, which everyone's like, how do you even fit in that? And we fit in that with three blankets also.
Yeah, it's like a body pillow between both of us.
I'm sleeping great. I don't know about you. Thanks for listening to this very special episode of Young House Love Has a Podcast.
Yeah, it felt good to be behind the mic again and, you know, let Sherry get her impressions out of her system, hopefully.
I don't know. There's more where that came from.
Well, in that case, remember to make sure that you're subscribed to our show wherever you listen so that you'll get notified whenever a new episode happens to show up.
And we still love to know what you do while you listen, like someone who shared their Spotify Wrapped stats with us and they had listened to 32 solid days worth of our podcast. She said she was falling asleep at night with us still on, so many, many nights of that.
What a compliment. And we do have some show notes up for you on the blog at younghouselove.com/podcast with links to the stuff we're digging and photos of some of the projects we mentioned, including where our guest house was supposed to go.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Bye.
Exactly. We're like folded at the foot of the bed, throw it in a basket. They were like, oh.
Sherry just mouth farted. She's like, what are you, Daffy Duck over there? Porky Pig?
I think I was trying to say all sorts when I said all.
We are very out of practice.
I don't do that in normal life. Why did I do that on a podcast?
Hey, I'm in charge of the sound effects over here, okay?